Last week we went through the background of the din of the prohibition of the Rabbanon of Shehiyah, the Machlik is Bisham and Bisili, end of the first parak in Masechta Shabbos. They allowed to set up the system on Erev Shabbos, that a melacha should begin on Erev Shabbos and continue into Shabbos. So we pass like the Zilo, that's usually permitted, except for Bishul. If he set up a system where the raw food is going to get cooked into Shabbos, that's forbidden mid the Rabbanon, Zereshem Yechat to be Gecholim. And then if you have a blech, so then it's permissible. Then there's another din of hachazara. You're not permitted to have fully cooked food, which minat Torah is ain bishol achabishol. You're allowed to reheat it on Shabbos. Amid the Rabbanon, they prohibited. You're not permitted to do hachazara. These are mishnayos. There's an issa shia. There's an issa hachazara. I remember many years ago there was a rabbi in the New York area who called me up on the phone. His daughter just came back from Michlala with a new chumrah. He never heard of this. He learned Shabbos by Rav Soloveitchik. And they learned that ain't bishol ha-bishol. His daughter came up with a new din. You're not allowed to take out food from the refrigerator, put it on top of the blech. Whoever heard of such a thing? He didn't. That's what hachazor is all about. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik probably learned the other part of Masechta Shabbos. He didn't hear the shiur on hachazor. Everybody agrees it's a din of hachazor. The only machlokes of Rishonim is what's the nature of the prohibition of hachazor. See, the Yosameach has a beautiful essay on the Rambam, and Rabbi Soloveitchik said the same thing. The same beer. That there's a fundamental machlokes between the Chachmei Svarad and the Balei HaTosfos. The Chachmei Svarad all understand that even though ain bishul achabishul min haTorah, but min the Rabbanon, you say yesh bishul achabishul. And what's the definition of bishul? Usually bishul is, we said there are three kinds of bishul. There's bishul on food items. If you take raw fish or raw potatoes and you cook them and make them roi lechol, kamachal ben derusah, you make it roi lachilo. Then if you take cold water and you cook it, you could have had the cold water, you could drink the cold water before. The water from the tap you can drink also. So you can't say when you make it, roi l'achila. So the Rambam says if you take a liquid and you heat it, until the point of yatzo lettuce, so that's a definition of bishul. And then there's a third category of bishul, by tar and by wooden pegs, by non-food items, by tea leaves. We spoke about it. By tea leaves, there's a din of bishul. The other Talmud Chacham thought that there's no bishul on tea because nobody eats it. It's against the Gemara. Nobody eats tar either. Nobody eats the wooden pegs either. So there are three categories of bishul. See, even though min haTorah ain bishul ha-bishul, bedover gush, because it's already roi l'achila the first time around, but midrabanan, that's how the Rambam and the Chachmei Svarad all hold. Midrabanan, we say yesh bishul ha-bishul. So what's the definition? When is it called bishul? When you heat up the food, take it out of the refrigerator, fully cooked chicken, kugel, whatever, you put it on top of the fire, you make it hot till the point of Yad Soledes. We borrow the definition of Bishul from Dovalach, and we apply it to a Dovagush. That's Shitas Chachmei Svarad. And the Yosemite points out that the Balei HaTosfos do not agree. Tosfos' opinion is that just like the prohibition of Shehiyah is a Gzeira Shem Yechata, so too the prohibition of HaChazor is also Shem Yechata. How can it be Shem Yechata? But if Shehi is prohibited because Shem Yechate, and if you have a blech, that solves the problem, so HaChazara should be mutav. If you have a blech, the blech will remind you not to be Mechate B'Gecholim. So the Mishnah Brura says, look in the Sefer Yosher, the Rabbi Natam, he answers the Kasha. Yosemech says, look in the Sefer Yosher, Rabbi Natam, and he gives the following answer. He doesn't rely you're going to look. The Mishnah Brura assumes you're going to look. Yosemech tells you what it says in Sefer Yosher, Rabbi Natam. So Rabbi Natam says, the both Shem Yechate, but in Shehiyah, where you left the food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos, so you're going to regulate the flame in such a way that it's going to be exactly the way you want it on Shabbos. In HaChazara, though, the food is already in the refrigerator before Shabbos. So if you want to take the food out in the middle of Shabbos, put it on top of the blech, you may realize that the fire is too high or the fire is too low. So that's not sufficient to permit HaChazara on Shabbos. It's not sufficient just to have a blech. You have to have more than that. You have to have that the food was on the fire before Shabbos, and you took it off. So then, if you have the blech and all of these things put together, then there's no longer any gzeira shem yichat to be gecholim.
What's the problem with mechat to be gecholim?
Mechat to be gecholim is the Gemara increases, daf yutes, that Tosfos is quoted by us. It's a Gemara increases. It's chayev shtayim, machayev as either mechaber umavir, or only chayev mishum mechaber. Havora was a machlokes on dafayin. Havora was machlokes, but havora lalav yotzas. Havora is lachalak yotzas. So there was a machlokes atanaim. Is there a chayev koris on havora? Even if you hold Havara as Lalav Yotzas, but Kibui is not Lalav Yotzas. We would have not thought so. We would have thought that Tosfos and Beitza writes like that, and the Rashash quotes his Sheher Bisari, the Alfei Menashe, or Menashe Ilya, the genius, the Vilna Gaon loved him. So he writes in his Sefer, he made a mistake. He said, if you hold Havara Lalav Yotzas, a Kibui for sure is only a Lav. There's no chorus. And that's how Tosfos writes in Beitza also on Daf Lamed. So they point out the Gemara increases not so. The Gemara has two brises. Samachata b'gacholim b'shoigeg. One brise says chayiv shtayim, shemechaba mishum mavir. Because chiluk malach. One brise says chayiv achas. Gemara says why not chayiv shtayim? Gemara says because the second brise holds that habor lalav yotzes and there's no chorus, but there is chorus because of mechaba. So that's the issue with mechata b'gacholim. Is not so much the cooking of the food, even if there's no food on top of the fire at all, just poking around in the coals. Is a double malacha mechaba umavir. So this is a fundamental machlokes between Tosfos and all the Chachmei Svarad. What's the nature of the prohibition of hachazara? The Mishnah Brura quotes it that the machlokes, whether it's mechzikim mevashel, he calls it mechzikim mevashel, means that midirabbanon is mevashel. That's how the Chachmei Svarad hold. Or is it shemi yichad b'gacham? The Mishnah Brura starts off like that, the two opinions, and then he doesn't develop it any further. The Sameach says is there used to be a machlokes, and we have paskin like Tosfos. And Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is like Tosfos. How do you know? Because one of the points of dispute is what's the din b'somuch? The prohibition of shehiyah was only introduced if you leave the food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos and it's getting cooked into Shabbos. So it's Erev Shemeichat to be gecholim because the fire is directly below the pot with the food. If you have a fire over here and you leave the food on the side, the samuch, so then the Gemara says that there's no, they never made the gzera of shehiyah, shem yichat to be gecholim, when the fire is not directly below the food. If it's menatzad, the samuch, then there's no gzera. So now there's a machlokes harishayim, what about hachazara? So a little tesis in the beginning of Kira, on the first Amud, Kira begins on an Amud base. So on the first Amud Aleph in Kira, Tosfos says, what, the Nami HaChazara? If there's no Gzera de Rabbanon by Shehiyah, when it's B'samuch, they only made the Gzera when it's Agabi Huesh, so there's no Gzera de Rabbanon by HaChazara either, unless it's Agabi Huesh. And the Rif and all the Chachmei Svara disagree. So that's exactly the Machloikis. If the prohibition mid the Rabbanon of HaChazara is that it's Bishal mid the Rabbanon, so Bishal even betold us Huesh is Chav. There's no halacha that Bishal is only Eish Mahalach Tachtov. Only if you have the fire under the pot. Even if you have a frying pan that was heated up by the fire, then I take it off of the fire. I crack open an egg, and the egg gets cooked because of the toldos ha'esh. A bishul but toldos ha'esh is a malacha deraisa. So b'samach would also be. There's no halacha that bishul is only agabi ha'esh. But if you hold that the hachazor is also med the rabbanon, shem yichata, so just like the Gemara says that shehi is also shem yichata, and the Gemara says they never made the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara comes to the conclusion the Gzeir of Shia was never introduced unless it's Agabi Huesh. So who are the Nami over here? The Gzeir of HaChazara was never made unless it's Agabi Huesh. So that's how it says in the Shulchan Aruch. There are more quotes like that. That it's Muta Lahachzir B'Samach. The prohibition of HaChazara is only if you take out the fully cooked kugel or the fully cooked chicken and meat from the refrigerator and you put it on top of the fire. So even if you have a blech, that's not good enough. You have to have it. Should have been there before. You need all the conditions to permit hachazara because of the chashash emichat. But if you take it out of the refrigerator, you put it on the side of the fire. Fire is over here, and you put it next to the fire. So even if it gets yatzah lettuce, that's not a violation of hachazara. So that's how we paskim that it's really shemichata. It's not because it's bishul midirabon. I don't remember if the Mechaber takes a stand, but the Ramah writes like that. So for Ashkenazim, that's how we paskin.
How close is if there's a big black and the fire is in the corner, on the black is also called
B'samach? So that's a question. So some poskim are of the opinion that Agabi Huesh, if you have a big black on the four burners, it's only called Agabi Huesh on that burner where the fire is below. Most, I think, assume otherwise. That since the blech is metal and the metal conducts the heat, so the whole, if I'm going to take something, I'm going to take cold water from the tap and put it on that part of the blech, but even if I leave it there all day long, it's not going to become yatzah lettuce. So that's had to gomer. Then Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara. That's at the Gemara. If I take water from the tap and I put it on top of the fire, and I'm going to stand here and watch it and make sure that it won't become Yatzal Eretz, I have a thermometer, whatever, I know when it's going to reach and I'm going to take it off. So that the Gemara says you don't allow. You don't allow to put water on top of the fire where if you would leave it there a little longer, it'll become Yatzal Eretz, and you're going to watch it that it shouldn't become Yatzal Eretz. That's awesome at the Rabbanah. But if you could if you take the water from the tap, cold water, and you put it in the end of the blech in such a situation, in such a position, that even if you leave it all day long, it's not going to reach Yatzalet. It'll become Yatzalet after Shabbos is over. So then there's no Gzera de Rabbanon over there. So there are three. So if you put something on the burner where the fire is, for sure that's called Al Gabi Hoish. If you put it all the way so far away that it won't become Yatzalet, even if it stays there till the end of Shabbos, everybody agrees that that's at the Goma. But if you leave the food in the middle part of the blech, that if you leave it long enough, it will become Yatzalatis. So most assume that that's also called Al Gabi Ha'esh. When is it called B'samach? So let's say I have a burner is burning, and I leave it on the enameled part. I leave it on the side of the stove over here. And it's going to get burning hot. The food will come, Yatzalatis, get burning hot, but it's not Al Gabi Ha'esh. So that's a suffix in Tosfos. Tosfos raises a suffix, a little Tosfos on Amud Aleph in the beginning of Kira. Maybe it's only considered besamoch if the fire is, here I have an oven, and the logs are inside the fire, the logs are inside the furnace, and I leave a pot over here, outside there's a doifen mapsik. So maybe that's called besamoch. The only time you say it's not called Al Gabi Ha'esh if you have a doifen mapsik in between. But if you don't have a doifen mapsik, I have the fire is over here, and I put the food on the enamel. There is no doifa mapsik. So Tosfos is mesupik about that. So the Mishnah Brura quotes that many achrenim are make on that also. That's also called besamach. That's not called Al Gabi Ha'esh.
Putting something in between is also called besamach.
So the Chacham Ovadia Yosef has a tshuva where he quotes all of the Sfaradish poskim from the last 100 years or so. Many are of the opinion, I find it hard to believe that they all agree, but he says many are of the opinion, that's how he's machriya, that whenever you have a fat blech, and you put the fire on top of the bird of mamish, that's not called agabi hoish. It's not agabi hoish. Agabi hoish is only if it's mamish literally on top of the fire. Whenever you have a blech mapsik, it's not agabi hoish. So svardim, many svardim in deal, follow Chacham Avadya's tshuva, that you're allowed to take food out from the refrigerator, cold food that's fully cooked, and put it on top of a blech, which is on top of the fire, because that's like besamach, it's not Al Gabi Ha'esh. Ashkenazim do not accept that position. We hold that that is called Al Gabi Ha'esh. But to put it next to the fire, not on top of the fire, so that's two opinions. You're talking about a dinder rabbanon. And the Pashtus and many, Tosfos writes they're not sure. And the Pashtus and many Rishonim is that that's mutter, that's not called Al Gabi Ha'esh. A blech is grufa k'tumah, but to permit hachazara, grufa k'tumah is not sufficient.
So what's Rav Avadya?
He says when you have a blech, that's not called agabi. If you have a blech, grufa k'tumah means you sprinkled some ashes on top. Kitma is ashes. And grufa means you pushed all the coals to the back. But if you have a blech mamish, that's mapsik in between the fire and the pot, even though the food is going to get fully cooked, if you put raw food on top of a blech, on top of the fire, it'll just take a little longer, but it's going to get cooked. The blech doesn't really diminish the heat that much at all. But nonetheless, there are many Sfaradish poskim are of the opinion. He adopts that opinion. That's not called a gabi hesh, because he had mamish a piece of tin, a piece of asbestos, whatever, that's mapsik in between the pot and the fire on the bottom. Metal has a status of ash when it's so hot that it's orange, burning.
So that's the difference.
Yeah, but burning hot, if you have burning hot metal, you have burning hot blech, you burn your finger if you touch a burning hot blech. But it's not orange, it's not red. You can't say bar mi'ar ha'esh on a burning hot blech unless it's so hot that it's glowing. If you heat metal till it glows, that's called ash. Heat metal is not glowing, it's not called ash. Tosfos here has a chiddush. Tosfos on the Mishnah Lamed Vav Amid Beis, the first Mishnah in Perikira, has a chiddush. They interpret in the Mishnah, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Amrim. There is such an opinion that even if the food is fully cooked on Thursday and you put it back on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos late in the afternoon, that's also a violation of HaChazara. We usually assume that's not HaChazara, that's Shehiyah. When you leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, that's Shehiyah. So if the food is fully cooked, or if you have a blech, so what's the problem? So Tosis raises a possibility that maybe there's an Isur HaChazara even on Erev Shabbos, if it's so late in the afternoon that it wouldn't be able to become Yatzal Edus before Shabbos enters. So the Yosemech points out that Tosfos is all the Shitasim of the Balei HaTosfos, that they are of the opinion that the prohibition of HaChazara is Gzeiris Shem Yechatas. So Gzeiris, it's hard to talk about Gzeiris on Erev Shabbos. But if they would have held, if Tosfos would have thought like the opinion of the Chachmei Svarad, that the prohibition of HaChazara is that it's Bishul Midirabbanan, so where's this normal loch on Erev Shabbos? It can't be in violation of Bishul on Erev Shabbos. If it's a gzeirah, then is what to discuss. Maybe the gzeirah of HaChazara even applies on Erev Shabbos, like the gzeirah of Shehiyah applies on Erev Shabbos. He doesn't think you need food. He thinks even if you just have a blech, it's already not al gabi hoesh. Ashkenazim don't accept that opinion. So we assume that even if you have a blech, if you put the fire on top of the burner, that for sure is Agabi Hoesh. And even if you put it a little further away on top of the burner, where if you leave it long enough, it will become Yatzal Edus Boy, that's also called Agabi Hoesh. Most assume that's also called Agabi Hoesh. So then the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. What if you have Kedera, Agabi Kedera? What if you have a pot of food, you have a pot of soup on the bottom, or let's say you have a samovar with burning hot water, and then you have a lid on top of the samovar, a lid on top of the pot of soup. Then you take out food from the refrigerator and you put it on top of the bottom kedera. So maybe that's not called agabi hoesh either. Maybe only the food in the bottom pot is called agabi hoesh. The food in the upper pot is agabi kedera, that's agabi hoesh. If you have a whole kedera with food mapsig in between, so the kedera agabi kedera, the upper kedera perhaps is not called agabi hoesh. So that's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. And the accepted psak la'aloch is that a gedera agabi gedera is mutter, that it's not called agabi hoesh, and it's mutter to take out food from the refrigerator and to put it on top of a gedera, on top of the hoesh. Now the Mishnah Bura quotes from the Prima Gadim that this kul of gedera agabi gedera only applies by medvar mamurim if there's some kind of food in the bottom of gedera. If there's no food in the bottom of gedera, just have an empty pot, you're just going to invert, you're going to take a pot, turn it upside down. Going to take a little tuna fish can, empty out the tuna fish, turn the can upside down on top of the burner, then you're going to take a pot out from the refrigerator and put it on top of the tuna fish can. That's a gedera agabi gedera. But that's not called a gedera agabi gedera. That's a crooked blech. That's what the Prima Gadim says. You have a crooked blech in the shape of a... and even if you have a blech on top of that, so you have two blechs. One is a straight blech, one is a crooked blech. We don't have a heter that two blechs are better than one blech. We don't have a cooler that a crooked blech is better than a straight blech. So that's the argument that the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim. That's our Absolvechik assumed. A double portion like that, that the heter, a gedera, agabi gedera only applies if there's some food in the bottom gedera, so the food in the upper gedera is not considered al gabi ha'esh. This kula, that whenever you have, let's say, gedera, agabi gedera, there's no prohibition of ha'chazor, you can take out food from the refrigerator, this is when you're only worried about the din derabbanan of Shema Yechata, the prohibition of HaChazara Midirabbanam. If it's Minatur, there's no problem because ain't Bishul HaHadbishul. Just worried about it in the Rabbanon of HaChazara. Either because according to the Chach Misvarad, it's Mechzikim Mevashel, it's Bishul Midirabbanam, or because according to the Rabbi Natam and the Bali HaTaisis, it's Shema Yechata Bikacholim, and he'll be in violation of Mechabu Mavir. So if it's a Din Rabbanon, so then there will only go to Agabi Huesh, or Gadera Agabi Gadera, there's no Issa. What if you're going to have soup that was fully cooked in the refrigerator? Let's say I take a pot full of soup and I put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos. So that's 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch, where you say b'dov alach, yesh bishul hadbishul. What's the issue? Because the definition of bishul by dov agush is by potatoes, raw potatoes and raw meat. You have to cook it to the point of Michael Ben Derusoy. So once it's cooked already, and you take it out of the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire, it already is. It's already royal achila. So you're not accomplishing anything. So there's no isa deraisa. Ain bishalachad bishal mideraisa. He heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, there's no bishul ahabishul. Okay, the holy Tanoim said the same as Rabbi Soloveitchik also. The Rama Chavim. There's no bishul ahabishul. But let's say you have water. So what's the definition of bishul by water? The water, you turn on the water from the tap. The water, you can drink it the way it is. So you can't say the definition of bishul, you make it roi lachila. The water was roi lachila when you took it. So the definition of bishul is to make it yatzo lettuce. So if you cooked water, you put it in the refrigerator, you take it out, and you put it back on top of the fire, you're starting all over again from scratch. How can you say in bishul ahabishul? It's cold. It's like water from the tap. What's the difference? Water from the tap is the definition of bishul when you make a yatzo lettuce. So there's a machlokes. What about soup? When you cook soup and you put it in the refrigerator, it doesn't revert back to become cold water and raw vegetables, or raw chicken. The soup is soup, and if you drink it cold without reheating it, the soup will taste very good. It tastes even better when it's hot, but the soup is delicious when it's cooked also. So that's a machlokes. Do you say that the water in the soup is water? And in Bedov Alach, the definition of bishul is when you heat it to the point of yatza lettuce. So if you're going to take it out from the refrigerator, heat it up again, it's going to be a bishul deraisa. Or do you say, no, since you made soup out of it, so it's like a meichel, so it's already roi lachila. So if you're going to reheat it, it already was roi lachila from before. You don't apply the rules and regulations of bishul of liquids over here, because here the liquid is part of a whole meichel. I treat it like a dover gush, that the definition of meichel dover gush. We mentioned that the Chayyadam is quoted by the Mishnah Brura, how much soup do you have to drink in order to say Baruch HaKreina? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Chayyadam Kezayis. Why Kezayis? Why shouldn't it be Revius? So he holds that the soup is a Meichel, soup is a liquid Meichel. The difference between a Meichel and a Mashke is not so much liquid versus salad, but rather food versus beverage. When a person is thirsty, he doesn't take a bowl of soup unless he has nothing else to take. But the soup you take when you want to fill yourself, when you're hungry. So soup is a liquid meichel, so it's a meichel. So that's the machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch. Do you treat soup that was fully cooked and take it out of the refrigerator? Do you treat it like a meichel? So min haTorah ein bishul acha bishul. So then you would be allowed to take out soup and put it back on top of a kdera agabi kdera. Kdera agabi kdera, we're makel that there's no prohibition of hachazora. And there's no problem deraisa here. Or should you say, no, there's an issue deraisa because the soup has liquid in it. And the liquid is bishul deraisa, bishul acha bishul. So whenever you have a heter in Hilchas HaChazara, that's only if the issue that you're dealing with is an issue the Rabbanon of HaChazara, but if you're dealing with an issue of Bishol Deraisa, then the Kulis of HaChazara don't help.
Is this Machlokas in Shulchan? Isn't there a Machlokas in the Rishonim?
Machlokas in the Rishonim. This, the Rosh has 2 days, where the Yesh Bishol HaChabishol B'dov Alach.
By water there is Bishol HaChabishol?
That's how the Egli Tal starts off. We'll get to it. The Egli Tal writes like that, by cold water. What is there to do? Of course, yesh bishul ahabishul. By soup, there's a machloikas. So that's what he points out. It should come out. Let's say you have a blech, and you only have the fire on, one of the burners is on, and the others are not. So you want to serve, let's have a kettle of water. The kettle of water is burning hot. Then I want to serve the soup. So the soup is now on top of the burner, which is on. And then when it's time to serve the soup, so I take it off. And I push the kettle of water further, closer to the fire. So it could well be, a lot of times it'll happen, that I moved it away so far away that the water in the kettle went down below Yatzo Lettuce. When I'm going to push it back closer to the burner that's on, so it could be now I'm going to make it Yatzo Lettuce. So in the Egli Tal, he thinks that this should be osa, that by cold water, everyone should agree there never was a machlokes that there should certainly be yesh bishul ahabishul. And what's the definition of yesh bishul ahabishul? If it's no longer yatzo lettuce, even though it's burning hot, but it's below yatzo lettuce, that's a shala. How much is yatzo lettuce? How much is yatzo lettuce? Different suggestions. How much is yatzo lettuce? Rav Soloveitchik thought that he thought yatzo lettuce is probably somewhere between 140 and 160. Now, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses lahachmer. What's the highest that yatzo lettuce could be? Well, when is it a chumer to say that it's higher? So the din is that the maga hanochri b'yayin she'ena mevushal asas, unless the yayin is mevushal. The Gemara says yayin mevushal. If a Nochri manufactures wine, he processes wine. So you're not allowed to drink Yayin Nochri, Mishum Ben Aseim. I may enjoy the wine so much, I may decide to marry his daughter, and I'll have a lifetime supply of this delicious wine. So if the wine was manufactured, Welch's grape juice, it doesn't help that it's cooked. That was years ago in the newspapers. They quoted a psak from the conservative Vada Rabbanim, the Vada Locha of the conservative rabbinical organization. They said, you're allowed to drink Welch's grape juice because it's Yayin Mevushel. So Rav Soloveitchik used to read the newspaper every day. We were none of us, the Yiddish newspaper. We didn't read the English newspaper. Forget about the Yiddish newspaper. So he came into class one day, he was all upset. Did you read? What is it? Do we read? We didn't read anything. So he got all angry. He explained why it's a joke. The din is, the Gemara says, Yayin Mevushel, if you have Kedem wine, if you have kosher wine, Jewish wine, that's Mevushel. And a non-Jew handles it. So there's no chashash mishum ben aseim. I'm not going to marry the goy's daughter because he handled the wine. I'll marry his daughter if he manufactures the wine. I may enjoy it so much, I'll be encouraged to marry his daughter in order to have a lifetime supply. But if he pours the wine or he sticks his fingers in the wine, why should I marry his daughter because he stuck his fingers in the wine? So then you're not allowed to drink the wine. Mishum chashash nisuch. Maybe he was menasachit. So bayas and beis hamigdash, there's a din that yai mevushel is pasul menasach agabi hamizbech. Same thing if you have, let's say you burn the chalev on the Mizbeach. So if the chalev was first cooked and then you burn it on the Mizbeach, it's not called Reach Nichoyach. You have to cook, you have to burn it on the fire, on the fire of the Mizbeach while it's raw. So the same thing applies to the dam. Dam Shebishloi, Ashkenazim Paskin. By Sfardim, it's a question whether dam Shebishloi is an Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanan, but Ashkenazim, Deramo Paskin is Beferish. Dam Shebishloi is only the Rabbanan. It's a discussion in the Gemara Menachos. Why? Because we're not allowed to drink dam from a behemoth chayviyai, because the dam is roi lizra kal gabi hazbech. Ke adam hu anevesh v'anin esateh v'mechem ala mizbech l'chaper al nafshe seichem. So the Gemara says, dam shebishloi is posel lizra kal gabi hazbech. Like yai mevushel, dam shebishloi, and the chalovim shebishlon, you're not yoytzen haktor, everything has to be raw. So since the din bayas in the Beis HaMikdash says that yai mevushel is posel anasal kal gabi hazbech, so it's probably the same by the goyim. We assume if a goy is going to take a bottle of water and pour it on the mizbech for avodah zarah, it'll become tekruvus avodah zarah. If he pours orange juice, if he pours yayin mevushel, it'll also become tekruvus avodah zarah. But we don't have to be, if you don't know one way or the other, we don't have to be choshish. Then maybe he was menasachet because by us yayin mevushel may not be used lanasach hagam mizbech. So we assume that probably by the nochem as well, it probably were not menasachet. So that's a din, that Yayin Mevushel, there's no Maga Nochri. So the or Zarua has a suffix, how high do you have to cook the wine that it should have the status of Yayin Mevushel, that there's no issue of Maga Nochri. How high do you have to cook it? So he raises a possibility, perhaps we should say, Hefshero Zehu Bishulo, maybe if you make it Poshrim, maybe if you make it lukewarm, maybe that's already called Yayin Mevushel. So he says, no, he doesn't think so. The Gemara has in Perikira possibility, that on liquids, sometimes he say hefsher zeh bishulah. He thinks we should be machmi and he dafke mevushel. What's the definition of mevushel? So we mentioned when we spoke about kiddush that the tzelim erov who used to give the hashgacha on the kedem wine, and now his son gives hashgacha and his stepson gives hashgacha on the kedem wine. So they follow the opinion. That's the way they read the shulchan aruch with the shach that it's only called yai mevushel if he cooked it till 212, till the point of evaporation. It's mismayit. Till it's going to evaporate. Rav Moshe says that's a mistake. You don't have to cook it till the point of evaporation. The Yerzeru only had a suffix, perhaps of Sherezel Bishula, and he was Noita Lahachman. No, that's not enough. Poshim is not enough. You have to heat it until the point of Yatzaletis. Yatzaletis is not 212, Yatzaletis is much lower. So, how high? What's the highest you have to get on the wine that it should be considered L'chol Adeyes? Yai Mevushel de Maga Akum shouldn't Aser? You have to go L'chumra. What's the highest? So emotion, three different shuvas gives three different numbers. So stira. One shuva he says 185, one shuva 175, something like that. So somewhere around there is 185, that's an exaggeration. Something a little lower, 100, 180, something like that, 175, 170, that's the highest. What's the lowest? So Soloveitchik thought that it's somewhere between 140, he thought below 140, he thought it's not called Yatzaletis. We mentioned, I think, in the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa, we spoke about it when we spoke about Yayin Mevushel for Kiddush. We didn't speak about it. The Gemara has a machlokes in the first parak in Chulin. if he shecht an animal with a knife, and then it turns out the animal had was diseased, and the animal is a treifa, so it's also bachila. Does the knife become treifa or not? So if you cut something cold, you cut something treif that's cold with a knife, the knife doesn't become treif, only if it's burning hot. The Gemara has a discussion. The Beis HaShechita, the neck, at the time that you shecht it, is that Yatzaletis or is it below Yatzaletis? That's the machlokes. Is Beis HaShechita Tzoinen? Doesn't mean Tzoinen, doesn't mean 32 degrees. Doesn't mean ice cold. It means it's below Yatzaletis, it's called Tzoinen. So there's no Bliyah. They say no, Beis HaShechita is Roseach. The heat of the neck is above Yatzaletis. So the Gemara is Mesupik. So how hot does the neck of an animal become when you shecht it? So different animals become different degrees temperature. So the hottest any neck ever becomes, in the Shemir Shabbos Kolchas, he quotes in the footnote, someone made a survey, a study, scientific study. The hottest the neck becomes when you shecht it, I think he says, is in a duck, something like that. Not a cow, and not in a chicken. It's a duck or a goose, one or the other, I forgot. And he says the hottest it becomes is, I think he says, 113. So that was a machloikus in the Gemara, where the Beis HaShechita, the neck is Raseach HaTzainen, and we paskin lehokel. So apparently this, the neck, the Gemara doesn't distinguish neck of a goose, neck of a chicken, neck of a turkey, neck of a cow. The Gemara talks about shechting. So the hottest it ever becomes, 113. So that was borderline, that was a machloikus, and we paskin lehokel. But if it's a little hotter than that, 114, then it is Yatzaletis. 1 degree. 1 degree temperature. It's a little bit of a joke. 113 is Tzayin, 114 is Raseach already. So that's what in the Shemir Shav Kzachos, in the footnote, he quotes that there are those who say 114 degrees Fahrenheit is Yatzaletis. And all the kashrus organizations, all the prominent kashrus organizations in America, they're only machmer from 120 and above, and 120 is also considered borderline. We're not machmer past 114. Shaila for treifas, let's say they processed a non-kosher milchig item, milchig chocolates, let's say. Chocolates, they're very careful. If they'll make it 130, the chocolate will burn. It's not that it's going to get cooked faster, it'll just burn. So they never make it chocolates when they heat them. So they make it something like 120, 122. There's borderline over there. They never make it so hot. So that's questionable whether the machinery ever became milchik, or if you have anything treif, and you know it's regulated, you know that it's always 119 degrees, never higher. So that's Alpi Pashtus, we'll make a lot of that. Below 120, we assume is not Yatzaletis, only Machmer above 120. So it's a range, we're not sure how much is Yatzaletis. So we're Machmer for 120, until what's the highest it can be? So Moshe, one Shuvah says 185. And that's not the generally accepted opinion by the wine. We assume something like 175, 172, something like that. That's the highest it can be. Yeah, so getting back again, so the Eglital in the Sefer writes, if you had the soup on top of the burner that the fire is on, and the kettle with the water, I know today people still have kettles with water. Years ago, it used to be such a thing as a kettle. A Chinese, with water, people wanted to drink tea on Shabbos. People today usually have a samovar, they don't have a kettle anymore. But years ago, in the earlier generations, in my time, when they still used to have a kettle with water, so when the soup is on top of the burner, so you have the kettle to the side. So a lot of times, the water in the kettle will go down below Yatzaletis. Then, when you want to serve the tea, so people enjoy piping hot tea or coffee, so you're going to push the kettle directly above the fire. So if you say yesh bishalach habishal b'davalach l'choladeis by water, so then once it goes down below Yatzaletis, then you put it back on top. If it goes up above Yatzaletis, that's a bishal deraisa. So it doesn't help that it was on the blech further away. If the water went down below Yatzaletis, so that's what the Eglital writes in the Pnim HaSefer. Then he writes, but everybody does it. The Minigolim in Europe, everybody did that when they were serving the when they finished the soup. Then they took away the soup, and then they put the chicken was on the blech somewhere. They put the chicken closer to the fire, and then after the whole meal was all over, then they would serve the hot tea. So they pushed the tea further in. So then in the end of the sefer, the last 2-5 pages or so in the Eglital, he has hashmatos and miluim, whatever. So there he tries to defend the minig ha'olam that maybe it's not so bad, and maybe the opinion of the bishalach bishal b'davalach Maybe the machlokes even applies to water. But the pashtus is, it makes more sense the way he explained the first time, that by water, the only time there was a machlokes is by soup. So how do we paskin by the soup? So there are more paskins meikra din deraisa, ein bishal achabishal besoup. But as a chumre, the Ramah's pshara is the loikeman. The Ramah made a new compromise. The compromise is meikra din, it's really muta, the ein bishal achabishal bedavalach. But if it's nitzan legamre, so then we say that yesh bishal achabishal. Learn nitzan legamre. If it's still above room temperature, it's still warm, then you can push the kettle back on top of the burner. There's no issue of hachazor; it's all on the blech the whole time, and there's no issue of bishul deraisa. There's no issue of bishul deraisa because mikra din we paskin on the soup. On the soup we paskin the rain bishul lahabishul. Anybody accomplished it? I don't think so. I don't think it depends. It will still be us. It will say still yesh bishlach habishul. Yeah.
We pass from kuliyama that yishlach habishul by a non-liquid item. So to get around the problem of hafzara, you can put it the stomach, and then once it's already warm, you put it onto the fire, and then not
hachazara
anymore
because
it's already warm and then it's not.
I don't think so. No, hachazara means, in the Sina Mechodesh, they prohibited midrabbanan to take out the refrigerator, put it on top of the fire. If it's a hemshach from the Nesina Erev Shabbos, then it's mutter. So if it's on top of the fire at Erev Shabbos, it doesn't have to be on top of this fire. The Gemara is beferish on Lamed Zayinim and Aleph. I left the pot of food on top of one fire and then it went out, so I'm allowed to take the pot of food, put it on top of another fire. There's a blech there. Doesn't have to be necessarily hachzor to the same fire, but hachzor means that my placing the food on top of the fire is a hemshech from its being on the fire on Erev Shabbos. So if it was in the refrigerator, so I'm allowed to put it b'samoch, that it should get warm. That's going to be in the Sina Mechadosh, to put it on the fire on Shabbos. That's not allowed. That's in Sina Mechadosh. Here the Rosh quotes a machlokes harishayim regarding bishul b'dava gush. Let's say you have chicken, and the chicken was not fully cooked, or you have meat. A lot of time, some people enjoy steaks rare, done. Other people enjoy steaks well done. So if you heat up a raw steak or some potatoes, sometimes the potatoes are so fully cooked, everything is soft. And sometimes it's not that soft. It's royal achila kamechot ben derusoi. Some people would eat, and some people would not enjoy eating it. So what if you have food that was cooked to the stage of Kamachal Ben Durusoy? I take it out of the refrigerator, I put it on top of the fire on Shabbos. Would you say that Yesh Bishol Lach HaBishol Midaraisa, the Dabar Gush? Because it's becoming more Mavushal. It's I'm moving it from the stage of Michael Ben Durusoy to the point of Mavushal called Sarkot. He's saying, no, once it's Mavushal, it's Mavushal. Now Locha says you didn't accomplish anything. Ein Bishol Lach HaBishol. So that's a Machlokes, the Rosh quotes, how to read a Gemara in the first parak in Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah is machmer on that. That bedover gush, yesh bishul ha-bishul, if it wasn't this bashul ha-gamrei the first time. So a person has to be careful. If he wants to take food from the refrigerator, put it back at k'dera agabi k'dera, it's only a mutter. K'dera agabi k'dera solves the issue of the rabbanon of ha-chazar, but doesn't solve the issue of deraisa bishul. So if you have a case where you have an issue of bishul ha-bishul deraisa, namely the first time around, it wasn't really mavushul called sarkai, so then you'll be in violation of a deraisa, then you're not allowed to. Just like a double lach, the heter of k'dera agabi k'dera doesn't help because we're concerned about the issue of deraisa.
If a person, let's say food is objectively cooked, but some people would like it more burnt and some people would like it less burnt, is that considered with stomach? Would that be
if it's fully cooked?
Yeah, it's fully cooked, but some people like it more fully cooked. Some people like it rare, some like it...
No, that's a fully cooked, so for sure there's no bishul lahabish. There's no bishul lahabish.
Is that different than the stomach viofalo?
Stomach viofalo is also a mavushal kotzar, okay? But if the cholent keeps on cooking longer, so then the potato is going to start to fall apart and everything is going to get full of schmaltz and schmaltz is going to spread. It's even going to taste better. But Mushal Kol Tzarka means that nothing is raw. Everything is soft. Everything is fully cooked. It's soft.
So even if it's Mizayin Biyakul, there's
still Mushal Kol Tzarka. There's no Bishul Deraisa. It's just an Isur of HaChazara.
According to what Tosfos said, like that if you put the food on the fire right before Shabbos, it's possible to be HaChazara. Didn't we say that the reason why a group of Tumen doesn't have HaChazara because the food's cold, so you might come to change the temperature anyway. You weren't regulating it before Shabbos. So if you put the food on and it's before Shabbos, wouldn't it make sense to see that you regulated the fire to the right temperature? And therefore, it wouldn't be a problem of
Tosfos? Tosfos says that sometimes, by us, it's easier because we have, everything is regulated by us. So we have a knob and we have, you know, when you go like this, it's so hot. In the days of the Gemara, they had coals. So it's not so easy to regulate, even if you do it on Erev Shabbos. So that's what Tosfos raises the possibility. Maybe the last half hour before Shabbos, maybe there's an Issa HaChazar there too. Because he may be Mechatet on Shabbos. It may take up until a half an hour, or 45 minutes, till he regulates the coals properly. The coals are not uniform size, different size coals, and a different height, elevation of the pot. By us, everything is different. Right.
So, couldn't you say the same thing, that the food's not cooked at all, so you might need to raise the fire to make it the right temperature, because it wasn't regulated before?
Yeah, the Gemara says that heter is called kedera chaisa. A kedera that has a piece of raw meat in it is mutter to leave without a blach. The meduber is like this. I know for tonight it's not going to be ready, even if I will poke all I want. And I know for tomorrow morning, after davening, it will be ready, even if I don't poke. That's the situation. So then, there's no reason that he should be mechata b'kachon, because ben kavakov for tonight, it's not going to help that he's going to poke for the coals, and tomorrow morning he doesn't have to poke any coals. So therefore there's no gzeira in such a case. And that's what the Rav Soloveitchik and all the other poskim say. You don't have that heter. By yasa, we can always have everything ready for tonight. Sing a little more zmiris, and you serve another, say advat Torah, and you serve another entree. Some people give two or three entrees before you give the main course. So then it'll be ready for tonight. The Shari Tshuva, next to the Beheta, quotes a kula from the Maharit. Maharit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo in his Beis Din in Tzfat. They had disagreements, Shemitah and other things, but he was one of the Sfardish Gedolim at that time. There were only Sfardish Gedolim then. There were no Ashkenazim in Eretz at that time. So he has in his Tshuvas the following kula. That if you ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you, that's only the Rabbanim. If you ask a non-Jew to do an Issa, the Rabbanim, that's called the Shvuz, the Shvuz. Shvuz, the Shvuz is not allowed, except the Makam Mitzvah. Then it is allowed. So he says, what if a person forgot to set up a system? He forgot to put the food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos? Or he's afraid if he's going to leave the food, it's going to get ruined overnight. So he puts the food in the refrigerator. So on Shabbos morning, he asks the non-Jew, please take the food out of the refrigerator and put it on top of the fire. So if I myself would put the food on top of the fire, it's only an Issa de Rabbanon of HaChazara. If I ask a non-Jew, so it's only the Rabbanon, so that would be a Shvuz de Shvuz. So if you have a Shvuz de Shvuz, but Makam Mitzvah, people enjoy warm food, people enjoy hot food better than cold food. So the Marit is Mekel, that a Shvuz de Shvuz, but Makam Mitzvah would be Mutter. To ask the Nochri to do HaChazara would be a Shvuz de Shvuz, Makam Mitzvah, that would be Mutter. To rely on this every single week, week in, week out, that's not right. Shvuz l'shus makam mitzvah is an emergency heter. Like the people live on the 20th floor in an apartment building, so every Shabbos they ask the goy to take them up. Shvuz l'shus makam mitzvah. That he asks a goy to do a malach is only the Rabbanan. To push the elevator button, to put a system in motion is only the Rabbanan. So the shvuz l'shus makam mitzvah. Once in a while, if you get stuck, if you're visiting someone who lives on the 20th floor, so that's a shvuz l'shus makam mitzvah. But to move on the 20th floor to rely on that, that's not right. It's a special heter only reserved for emergencies.
Do you have a shul that one can use shvuz to shvuz regularly with the Rabbanan? Like to have somebody constantly be doing
to turn on the lights. To turn on the lights, electric bulbs, we assume, like Rab Chaim Moser, that's a malacha deraisa. So to ask the goy to turn on the lights for Shabbos, that the people should be able to daven. On Friday night, turn on the lights before Shabbos. well, let's say to turn out the lights on Leil Shabbos, and then to turn on the lights on Shabbos morning. So that's Hamir Liakam and Makam Mitzvah de Rabbim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayodam that if the Erev broke, and he won't be able to notify all the people in the city, a lot of people are going to be carrying. So we would permit Amir al-Nachri even to do Malachas Deraisa, to drive a car and to go climb up and bang nails and tie strings, tie knots and so on, even to do Malachas Deraisa, that Amir al-Yakam and Makam Mitzvah Derabim is Mutter. We don't accept the Kula of the Baal Hu'itur. The Ramah quotes the Baal Hu'itur that Amir al-Yakam is Mutter, but Makam Mitzvah that we don't accept. But the Makam Mitzvah the Rabbim, we do accept it. Why is that? So that's based on the Gemara. That the Gemara says one who buys a field in Eretz Yisrael, and the only way to buy it is to buy it on Shabbos. They're not going to sell him the field on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says you're permitted to have Amir with a Nachri to write the Shtar on Shabbos. Why is that? So the Ramban writes in one place in the end of Shabbos that buying up Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is a Mitzvah the Rabbim. So based on that idea that Amir al-Nachri is Mutter b'makam Mitzvah the Rabbim. So usually we assume it's also an emergency heter. But in all the shuls, that used to be the practice years ago. All the shuls, they didn't have Shabbos before they had Shabbos clocks for the shuls. So that used to be the practice, that b'makam Mitzvah the Rabbim. They even allowed it every single Shabbos. They would have the non-Jew turn off the lights on Leil Shabbos to save the Maman HaTzibur, that they shouldn't have the lights burning the whole Shabbos.
Shouldn't carry.
Right. Is that really a mitzvah? I mean, to prevent the rabbi from doing an avera. Right. So Amir Liakam is mutter b'makam mitzvah. Right. How much is a rabbi? Let's say you have three people on each other shudas, and they want to ask the guy to please bring some matzahs from over there to over here. We want each other shudas. So three people is sometimes say three people is a rabbi. The radinim. It says by a zaba gedayla chayozov. Zayv Dama Yamim Rabim. So the Gemara says Yamim Shnayim Rabim Shloisha. So we, the Gemara says the Rabim should really be three, based on that pasuk. But he said two is company, three is a crowd. So three is Rabim. So the Gemara has there's a din Shvua Al Das Rabim, or a Shvua Bar Rabim Machlokes. So whether Shvua Bar Rabim, Shvua Al Das Rabim, we pass can Ein LaHatorah. It's not Torah. So the Gemara in Gittin has a machlokes amaroyim. How many people does it have to be that it should be called the Shvua Al Das Rabim? Three or ten? So we paskin ten. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes that there are some achrayim. He quotes the Mishnah's Chachamim as a chibur on the Rambam. So the Mishnah's Chachamim writes that was the machlokes. How many people do you need that it should be called the Rabim? Three or ten? Since we paskin ten, so it should be ten. So there's a difference between a mesis and a mediach. A mesis liyochid. And the Mediach Lerabim. So the dinim are slightly different. So if your Mesis five people, is that called a Mesis? Liyachid, is that called a Mediach Lerabim? So the Mishnah's Chachamim writes in his Sefer on the Rambam, it should depend on that machlokes whether three or ten. When is it called Shvu Al Das Rabim? And since we pass in tens, they need ten. So Minchas Chinuch says he thinks that that's a mistake. They all agree Rabim is three. Kiyozov Zayv Dama Yamim Rabim by the Zavik Doyle is three. 3 days is Rabim. There, Kinishbolahem Rashi Ha'eda, there it says Yeshua ben Nun swore to the Givinim, to the fakers, they made believe that they were from a different part of Africa, and they came and they made peace with Yeshua ben Nun. They said they're not from the Zainumas, they're afraid that the Jews are going to kill everybody. Yeshua ben Nun swore to them he's not going to kill them. Then he found out that they had fooled him, that they really were from the Zainumas. But because Nishbolahem Rashi Ha'eda, so that's why they didn't violate the Shua. The Shua was betos, but they didn't violate it. So the Gemara says that's called the Shvu Al Das Rabim because the word Eda appears there. So the word Eda always means Asara. So there it's an exception to the rule. That Rabim, Shvu Al Das Rabim, they need 10 people. But the Minchas Chinuch says whenever there's a din of Rabim, so the definition of Rabim is Taka 3. Rabbi Kivega quotes in Choshe Mishpah, in Simishin Lamagimel. He quotes from the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour, quotes a Mordechai in Bava Metziah. That if someone started working for me, so I can't fire him in the middle of the job unless he's not doing the job well. And I can't just tell him I want to drop you. I don't. Haskalah samalocha is the kinyan, and I can't fire him unless I have very good cause. So what happens if I tell him a year in advance I want you to come teach in my school, and then a year before he comes I tell him I don't want you to come. I want to drop you. I want to back out. So he didn't even start. Haschalas Amalacha didn't take place yet, so he doesn't have the kinyan yet. So what happens if it's a rabbim who made this kinyan? It's a school that's not privately owned. It's owned by the community, a rabbim. So then it says, or let's say you have a company, a business that's owned by three amoshutvim, and they hire a worker, and he didn't even come to begin the job yet, but they promised him they're going to give him a job. So Rabbi Kibbeg quotes this from the Darkei Moshe, quotes the Mordechai Bar Ben Tzia, that rabbim doesn't need a nice kinyan. Rabbim is kind of just by amira alone. The Chazanish, and Mishnais Orla has a haichacha from the Mishnah like that. Then the Chazanish says, where did the Tanoim get this idea from? Mordechai got it from the Mishnah and Orla, he says. Where did the Tanoim get the idea from? So he says, he thinks that that's what Hefker is all about. Hefker means you makna to the rabbim. Whenever you makna to the rabbim, whenever rabbim is... It says in the Chumash, V'chisim karamim kalam isecha karam yaram isecha, an individual is selling to an individual, so then there are kinyonim. You need the kinyonim on karka, kinyonim on matalim. But if it's not an individual, it's a rabbim who is involved in the sale, then the kinyon takes effect b'dvarim alone. So he holds that that's the... We learn out from a pasuk that there's an institution of hefker. Hashvi'is tishmetana unatashta, a pasuk in Mishpatim. Tishmetana means that you should be mafka the perishvi'is. And atashta, the extra lasha means, yeshlach netisha cherishi kazu. Whenever you want, you can be mafka anything that you have. Not necessarily dafka the perishvi'is that grew in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmita. So you learn from the pasuk that there is an institution of hefker. The hefker is a question, what does it mean? It means I'm a salak my ownership? Or means I'm makna to the rabbim. So that's what the Chazanish is machadish. Hefka means I'm makna to the rabbim, not misalak my ownership. Because the Gemara says, in order to be magdish, you have to have shaloi b'shusai. In order to be makna, you have to have shaloi b'shusai. In order to be mafkir, you have to have shaloi b'shusai. So hefka just means I'm misalak myself from the ownership. So why do you have to have a full ownership, shaloi b'shusai, to be misalak yourself? Whatever you have, you're misalak. The answer is no. Hefka means a hakno le rabbim. And there are two kinds of haknol the rabbim. There's haknol the rabbim, I give it to the municipality, should belong. The city hall belongs to the municipality, that no individual has a right to take it. Then there's another kinyan le rabbim. The rabbim owns all the property that's hefker. Whoever was mafka something, a makna to the rabbim. That any member of the rabbim has a right to take it and make it into his private ownership. Like truma. When you mafka truma, so it becomes mamon hashevet. What does it mean, Maman HaShevet? It belongs to the Shevet. No one's allowed to steal it. No. Any Kohen who's a member of that Shevet has the right to take it. You have a Tavis Ano also. But so there is two types of Bailus, Maman HaRabim. Maman HaRabim, city hall, and the streets and the city belong to the municipality, that it should remain in the ownership of the municipality. And then if someone is Mapke, some property of his, so he's Makne to the Rabim, that any member of that group has the right to convert it into private ownership. So let's get back over here. Nachamo. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Behete quotes the Maharit that if he asks a Nochri to do Hachazor on Shabbos, so that's a Shvuz de Shvuz b'makom mitzvah. You shouldn't use the Heter every single week. It's an emergency Heter, but sometimes if the family forgot to make an arrangement, so then you can use the school. So the Mishnah Brewer writes in the Bir Halacha, when you read the Shulchan Aruch, you get the distinct impression that nobody agrees. They don't talk explicitly about this case, but you get the impression from the Ramah and from the Taz and from the Magen Avraham that nobody agrees with this Maharit. How come? So the Pashtus is the following. The Maharit is going in the sheet of the Chachmi Svarat. He was a Svardish Epoisek. He goes with the opinion of the Chachmi Svarat that HaChazorah is an Issa Malochah Midrabbonin. So if you ask a non-Jew to the Bishul, even though I'm in Atarah and Bishul HaHabishul, but Midrabbonin, Yesh Bishul HaHabishul. So whenever you're dealing with a Malochah, either a Malochah Deraisa, a Malochah Derabbonin, if you ask a Nochri to do it, it goes down a level lower, because there's no Malochah B'Shevi Al-Tasim. Malochah is only if I do a Pu'udah B'Kum V'Yaseh. If I ask a Nochri to do the Malochah Deraisa for me, it's lowered. If I ask him to do a Derabbonin for me, it's lowered. It's a trade Derabbonin. So Shvuz, Dushuz, B'Makah Mitzvah, we would be Mekel. We don't paskin like the Chachmi Svar. There are more paskins, at least for the Ashkenazim, like the Bali Atosis, that the prohibition of HaChazorah is not that it's Bishul Midrabbon, it's a Gzeira Shema Yichata B'Gecholim. So since it's a Gzeira, so the Klal, that no Malacha can be violated B'Shevi Al-Tasa, doesn't apply. So each Gzeira, you have to determine each and every Gzeira individually, can this gzera be violated b'shevi al tase? Or can this gzera only be violated b'kumli yase? There are gzeras that can be violated b'shevi al tase. Take l'mashal shehiyah. If you leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it enters Shabbos like that, so you're in violation of shehiyah. At what moment of time are you in violation of shehiyah? When you put the food on the fire, and you plan to leave it, and there's no blech, you put the food on the fire with no blech, and you plan to leave it into Shabbos, you're not in violation of anything yet. Nothing happened yet. When Shabbos enters, and you don't have a blech on your food, on top of your fire, so then you're in violation. So the issue of shehiyah is not violated, al pi pashas. When you put the food on Erev Shabbos and you plan to leave it there, when Shabbos enters and your food is on the fire without a blech, that's when the gzeira Shem Yechata sets in. So one could argue the point and say, Hu Adinami, this is what the Chazanish writes this argument. One could argue the point and say, Hu Adinami, if the Nochri, my next door neighbor, Nochri, comes to my house and he knows I'm a Shem Shabbos, he knows I'm not allowed to cook anything on Shabbos. So he has the key to my kitchen. He comes in, he takes my pot out of the refrigerator, he puts it on top of the fire for me. Then I come home and I see it on the fire. So it's my gzeirah, Shem Yechata. What does it help that the guy put it on top of the fire? But the food is being reheated for me. My food was returned, not by me, my food returned to the fire on my behalf. So that's gzeirah, Shem Yechata, b'gechol. So it's possible to violate the gzeirah of shehiyah, even m'shevi al tasa. The Chazanish goes a step further. He thinks not only if a non-Jew does the hachazorah, then when I come home and I see that he did me a favor, I have to remove it, I have to take it off of the fire. He says, even if you set it up on a Shabbos clock, he raises the possibility, since your food, you're not putting anything on Shabbos. Everything is set up in the air of Shabbos. Since my food, the fire goes on, the electric stove goes on, Shabbos morning at 10 o'clock. And then the food gets cooked till 11 o'clock. It gets cooked. So he raises the Chazanish raises the possibility. This should be an Isser of Hachazar on Shabbos. He thinks that it's possible to argue the point and say that one can violate the Isser of Hachazar b'shevi al tasa because it's not a malocha. It's a gzeris. A gzeris depends how they formulated the gzeris. Gzeris can sometimes be violated b'shevi al tasa. We mentioned Rabbi Kivege raises the suffix. If you make a kinyan, you make a deal on Erev Shabbos, and you say you want the kinyan to take effect on Shabbos, is that permissible or not? So Rabbi Kivege raises the possibility that maybe that's not allowed. Maybe to make a maisi kinyan, make a chamemka is prohibited on Shabbos, it's not a malachim of the Rabban. It's a gzeir v'shem yichtov. So gzeir v'shmino can be violated sometimes b'shevi al tasa. So maybe that'll be an iser. There's a gzeir v'shem yichtov there too. If he sets it up on Erev Shabbos, that the kinyan should take effect on Shabbos. That's the and the many achrenim disagree. The common practice is not like Rabbi Kivege. Shabbos when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so usually the practice is that the rabbi sells all the chametz with the balabatim and Erev Pesach in the morning before the Isman Isa Hanor. When there's an Isman Isa Achila before the Isman Isa Hanor. So the question is, if Erev Pesach Chali is b'Shabbos, so the rabbi sells the chametz on Erev Pesach on Friday, which is 2 days before Pesach. So what does he say? He says, I want the kinyan to take effect on Shabbos morning on all the chametz that will be left over in the Balabatim's home. Or does he say, no, I want the kinyan to take effect now on Friday, 2 days before Shabbos. Whatever chametz will be left over on Shabbos morning, I want the kinyan to take effect now on Friday. So that's Rabbi Kivege raised that possibility. To make a kinyan on Erev Shabbos, and you say, I want the kinyan to take effect on Shabbos morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe you are in violation of Mekka Chememka. Maybe Mekka Chememka is a gzera, clearly is a gzera. And gzeras can sometimes be violated in Shevi Al Tasa. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So that's the Shaila. This is Sefer Tzemach David, Heoris on Shuvas Rabbi Kivege, written by Rabbi David Akiva Rappaport. He was the one, we said, he was a single guy and he wrote this sefer, and Rabbi Chana Basman was so taken by the sefer, he invited him to come sight unseen, invited him to come say the highest shiur in Baranovich Yeshiva. Now when he came, he realized, number one, he was a single guy, he was a bacher. How can you have, everyone's going to look up to the single guy? You have to have a married person. And then he didn't know, number two, that he was a terrible stutterer. He writes beautifully, but he couldn't speak Yiddish well. He stuttered something terrible. It took a long time. The students who listened to Shia took a long time till they understood what he was talking about. So he went, Rabbi Chana went to Rabbi Chaim Moshe to ask what should he do. Rabbi Chaim Moshe was a brother-in-law of his. They were married to two sisters. They married the daughters of the rabbi from Shavuot. Rav Meir Atlas, who was also a big Talmid Chacham. Rav Chaim Moisez said, look, ultimately he's going to get married. So that mum is a mum over. That'll straighten out. He's going to get married. Then he said, about the talking. He's such a big Talmid Chacham. He says that he thought it was kedai to keep him on, even though it'll take a couple of months till the students will understand what he was talking about. So here in his Sefer Tzemach Dabba, he has Ha'oris, not in every single tshuva. He has Lamda Sheh'oris on tshuvas Rabbi Kevega. Then he has Ha'oris sometimes on the Gilyan Ashatz, and Rabbi Kevega's Ha'oris on the Gemara, and when Rabbi Kevega has an original Shtikol Torah. So he writes on those. So he has Ha'oris on this tshuvas Rabbi Kevega, where he quotes a Yerushalmi that's quoted by Tosfos. Hafrashas Trumas Amaisvus is a Gzeira Shema Yichtov, also part of the Gzeira of Mecca Chumemka B'Shabbos. He quotes, the Rishami talks about that. Are you permitted to be Mafrish Trumas Amaisvus on Friday that it should be Chal on Shabbos? Is that permissible or not? So it seems that it is permissible. We assume that it is permissible. So he says, that's the Minig Olam is Lahakel. When our Pesos, Chali is B'Shabbos, and the Minig, most Rabbanim, the two versions of the Shtar Mechira then. So most Rabbanim have a Shtar Mechira. We're selling making the Kinyonim on Friday, but want them to take effect on Shabbos morning at 10 o'clock. So if you say the other way, if you do like Rabbi Kevega, that you're not allowed to have the Kinyon take effect on Shabbos, has to take effect on Friday, then, but they're going to eat some of the Chametz Friday afternoon and Shabbos morning, they're going to eat some of the Chametz. So you say, we're selling whatever chametz will be left over on Shabbos morning. That chametz should now be sold on Friday. But you don't know yet on Friday which chametz the Kinyan is taking effect on. So that's an issue of Breira. So you should really say, ain't Breira in such a case. So the Achreinim HaMekel, they say, the Gemara in the end of Beitza came to the conclusion that with respect to Dinim Deraisa, ain't Breira, with respect to Dinim Derabbanan, the Yesh Breira. So since the whole need for Mechiras Chametz is only the Rabbanim, because everybody's Mevatel Chametz anyway, so it's a Din de Rabbanim, so with respect to Dinim de Rabbanim, you say Yesh Breir. So that's very difficult. That analysis is very questionable. Number one, what do you mean it's only the Rabbanim? You Mevatel all the Chametz, and then you go and you sell it. So you just undid the Bittel. Mevatel means Kafadara. As far as I'm concerned, I couldn't care less about it. You couldn't care less. So how are you selling it? You're making money. You're selling it to the goy. So that's very questionable, whether the bitl chametz is chal on the chametz that you plan to sell also. Pashto says it only goes on whatever chametz you're not aware of. Whatever chametz you're going to sell, you're not being mevatel. And problem number two is, just because the whole need for the mechiras chametz is to solve a problem the rabbanim, because menater the bitl be almasagi, and it's only a bal yirah the rabbanim, but the mechiras chametz is an institution deraisa. He's selling chametz as a kinyan. So with respect to dinim deraisa, you say ein breira, even though the whole purpose of the Mechiras Chametz is to, even if the whole purpose of Mechiras Chametz would be to avoid Bal Yeroi Derabbanan, but still, you're making a Kinyan, which is a Din Deraisa. You say, Yesh B'Erev Derabbanan means when you make an Erev Etchumen, the whole institution of Erev Etchumen is only on a level of Derabbanan. Maybe if you're Mafrish Chumas Amaisis on Yerek, the whole institution of Chumas Amaisa Yerek is only Derabbanan. So they, maybe you can say Yesh Breira Bidirabbanan, but say Yesh Breira Bidirabbanan on a Mechira of Chametz. Mechira of Chametz is an institution deraisa. The whole reason why the motivation to sell a Chametz is in order to avoid Bayirah Bidirabbanan. But that's not called Yesh Breira Bidirabbanan. That's called Ein Breira Bidiraisa. Mechira of Chametz is a Breira Bidiraisa. Anyway, that Shuvah Rabbi Kevegir is based on this assumption that gzeiros can often be violated b'shevi al tasa. Depends on how you define the nature of the gzeira the rabbanon. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes the tshuva. He quotes the Chazon Ish. There's a contradiction in the Chazon Ish in two different places about this. Are you allowed to set up a system on a Shabbos clock that the food should get reheated or get cooked on Shabbos morning? The fire will go on Shabbos morning, the electric stove will go on Shabbos morning at 9 o'clock. By the time you come home from shul, the food will be roi lachil, it will be edible. So one place the Chazon Ish writes muta, one place he writes it's osir, and then in brackets they give you the cross references. So in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, he only quotes the Chazon Ish who said lahakel. He doesn't point out that the Chazon Ish in the other place said lahachmir. Then he quotes also the tshuva from the Melamed Lahoyel. Melamed Lahoyel has a tshuva about a hospital, a Jewish hospital, a religious hospital, that they want to set up a system to heat up the food on Shabbos with a Shabbos clock.
So Malamed Lahar was Mekel. So this is a problem. Malamed Lahar is Rab David Tzvi Hoffman. So Malamed Lahar, in the introduction to the Sefer, the son writes that his father passed away, and he found all of these tshuvas, and he gave it to a Talmid Chacham to put everything in order and to put out the Sefer. So first of all, whenever a Sefer is printed posthumously, so it could be that the Mechaber backed out from some of the tshuvas. Maybe he changed his mind. Secondly, it could be never change his mind, but it could be that there is more conditions over here. He happens to be talking about a hospital. So maybe the heter was only for cholim in a hospital. So cholim you make all on things that you're not make all for healthy people. He never wrote the tshuva for publication. He wrote the tshuva and he left it around the house. So it could be that there's another condition there. There are a lot of tshuvas in Rav Moshe's tshuvas and other some that there are assumptions, there are certain parts of the story that are not mentioned in the tshuva that are crucial to the kula or to the chumra. A lot of times because there was a certain point and the tshuva doesn't spell out the whole story, what all the details are in the case. So that's really problematic. It's not so simple over here. That's the shaila. What if a person, this happens every so well in America, hardly ever happens. Let's say you set up your electric stove and then the electricity goes out on Shabbos, on Friday afternoon. Then it goes back on Shabbos. Every so often there's a blackout. The electricity goes on Shabbos. Would you say, and I had food on top of the stove, raw food, that's raw, and then the electric current goes back on. So would you consider that hachazara? That my food was returned on top of the fire in the middle of Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish writes about that. If there's a blackout, and then he says that you can't say if I set up the Shabbos clock or my neighbor puts it on top of the fire for me, my food was returned on top of the fire on my behalf. But here, the electric company doesn't come because Shechta needs a hot cholent on Shabbos. There are 500,000 people in this area in Washington Heights and New York City, so they have to take care of all of the people. So they're taking care of all the lights and everything. They didn't have me in mind specifically for the food. So the Chazon Ish says he doesn't think that that's even if you'll accept his chiddush, that if you set up a Shabbos clock, it's a violation of hachazara because my food is returned back on top of the fire. That's because the Shabbos clock was set up on my behalf. But if there's a power outage and then they fix it again, that's not called hachazara. Yeah, we would assume that that's a shvuz vishvuz. So maybe the electric key is muktzis, and maybe you have to leave it. Maybe you have to leave it by the desk, and then ask them to please come upstairs. That could well be. That's the question: is the electric key, is that a klisha malachta liyisa, or would you consider that kol malachta liyisa? So that should be muktzah. That's a good question. Yeah. Would that be Bishulei Nochrim? I think Gemara says that it's not. The Gemara says, if a Nochri, I left some food somewhere, and the Nochri made a fire because he wanted to burn some garbage. He wasn't even aware. He didn't have a mind at all that my food is getting cooked. So I think the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that that's not Bishul Nochrim. I think the Gemara talks about that. Return the fire is also, yeah.
Yeah, like return the fire back and return the food to it.
It means that my food went back on top of the fire in the middle of Shabbos. Yeah, same thing. Same thing. Even when you permit hachazara, it's only permissible, the Gemara of the Ferish on Lamed Zayim and Alt. Hachazara is only mutter. I had a kettle on top of the, a pot of soup, whatever, on top of the fire, and I poured some tea, and then I put it back on top. Hachazara is only mutter. Al-Gabi. Ha'esh, al-gabi grufa k'tuma. Let's say I took out some food from the oven and I served in a hotel. You have 1,000 guests, they're not all eating at the same time. So I take out chicken to serve, then I want to put it back in. So even though it's said to be other, but da'ita l'hachzir, etc., etc., the Gemara says we don't permit hachzara el tocha tanur. So that's a big problem in all the hotels. You have 1,000 guests. So they can't take out the food and start serving to everybody. It'll be cold by the time they give it to the guests. They always have to put it back in. to keep it warm. And we don't hold from the heter ayde nochrim. We don't hold from the maritz heter ayde nochrim. So what they usually do is that they don't take it fully out. They have a shelves in the oven. So they take the pot half in and half out. So since it's still half in, so they don't consider that hachazar. Maybe. I think that's the minig in all the hotels, that they're careful not to violate hachazar al tocho by leaving the big tray, the tray half in and half out. Yeah.
When we were talking about a mirror, enough, we said that sometimes it's maybe a gezera or maybe it's
a malacha derbanan, I'm not sure. If it's a gezera derbanan, then is that one of the gezeras that you could violate the sheva al tase, or would everyone agree that it's not? Sometimes the gezera can only be violated bikum v'yasei, so then if I ask a nochri, so then it's a shvuz, so then it will be mekel, b'makam mitzvah, b'makam hefsed merubah. But sometimes in the nature of the gezera is such that it can be violated b'sheva al tase. Let's say, I'll ask a goy, put the food on top of the fire, I have no blech. So I'm not allowed to put food on top of the fire in Arab Shabbos without a bell. I said, look, God, you put the food on top of the fire. So that's mistaba that you didn't gain anything. I don't violate the issa when I put the food on to say that it's a double darabon. When Shabbos enters and my food is on top of the fire without a bell, I'm directly violating. Doesn't matter who put the food, whether Cotton put the food, or a guy put the food, or I put the food, my wife put the food. My food is on the fire in Arab Shabbos when Shabbos enters without a bell. So that's my direct violation of Shehiyah. So that's the question. Every gzeri you have to judge individually. Is it?
Amir Lenachri, does anyone say that there's a possibility that it could be one you could violate the Sheva al Tase?
Amir Lenachri?
To have a melacha done for you by a Nachri.
Can you violate Amir Lenachri by Sheva al Tase?
Yeah.
Amir Lenachri means I tell a goy, or I hint to the goy, I ask him to do a melacha for me. Whether I ask him on Shabbos or before Shabbos, I ask him 20 years ago. I moved into the building 20 years ago and I said, whenever I come in on Shabbos, I can't push the button. Do me a favor. You push the button for me. So that's Amir Lenachri. I asked him 20 years ago and he's still the other. He still pushes the button for me. That's, I gave him the instruction. But if you don't give him instructions, then well, how is it Amir Lenachri? If he sees that I'm there, when I appear and he knows this story, my appearance is the Amir Lenachri. When I walk in, implying that please take me up to the 20th floor, that's the Amir Lenachri. The Ramah quotes a kula, and he recommends people should not rely on the kula. Ramah quotes a kula from the Ran and from the Ramban. They had a girsa in the Yerushalmi, which by us does not exist. That the only time you need oida b'yoda b'dayta l'hachsa v'loin, it's tan l'gamri, all the rules and regulations, that's only if the food is in the refrigerator and you're taking it out on Shabbos. What if the food was on the fire in the beginning of Shabbos? I had food on top of a blech on the beginning of Shabbos, and then I took it off and I put it on the side. I put the pot on the side. Not oida biyodai. Not oida biyodai. Even if it's not daita lahachzir. And then I want to put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos. So they had a girsa in Yerushalmi that says the only time there's an isur of hachazara and you need all these conditions is if the food was not agabah hu'esh b'tchilos ha-Shabbos, but whatever food was on the fire beginning of Shabbos, then to put it back on, that's always called hachazor. So the Rambam doesn't quote this Yerushalmi, and the Noseh Kelim, the printed on the bottom of the page, the commentaries on the bottom of the page of the Yerushalmi, ask how come the Rambam doesn't quote the Yerushalmi. So the answer, because in our Yerushalmi it doesn't exist. This whole sentence, all the words exist, but by us, it's a run-on paragraph. It's not a run-on sentence, it's a run-on paragraph. It's the end of the words of the first paragraph, then a caption for the Mishnah, then the beginning of the next paragraph. So the Ran and the Ramban had a different gears in Yerushalmi that they had, what by us is a run-on paragraph. They had a sentence that reads like that. It really doesn't make sense. What do you mean? The woman took the kettle off of the fire on Erev Shabbos, and then she's benching licht and she's setting the table, and then she wants to put it back on top of the fire. How many hands does she have? She's doing everything. She's holding the kettle in one hand and she's lighting the candles on the other hand. And then half an hour later, she wants to put the kettle back. So then you need all the conditions. But if the kettle's on the fire in the beginning of Shabbos, then everything is fine. How can it be? The whole case is ridiculous. So the Ramah quotes this kula. Then he recommends you shouldn't rely on the kula. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell people this kula because he said he was dealing with the Balei Tshuva. And he knew that if he's not going to give them a kula, so they're going to do worse. They're going to violate more than that. But the Ramosh in his tshuva says, the Ramosh says you shouldn't be lying to kula, so you shouldn't be lying, it's not right. So the question is, if you had this kula, those who do follow this kula, there were communities in Europe where they followed this kula of the Ramosh, even though the Ramosh recommends not to. So the question is, does it depend on the food being on the fire b'tchilas HaShabbos when Shkia enters, or does it depend when you personally, when Mekabel Shabbos, let's say the food, Soleitchi gave this scenario. You have a big blech on, and you have all the four burners on, and there are four pots, one on each one of the burners. The wife bench is licht, so she's Mekabel Shabbos. Then the husband was not yet Mekabel Shabbos. He turns off the three burners. So, and then he goes to Shul and he davens Mincha Ma'ariv. So then, B'tchilas HaShabbos of the wife, all the four pots were on top of the burners. So then the wife would be allowed to do HaChazora on all the four pots. But as far as the husband is concerned, only one pot was on the Hagabi HaKdeira in the beginning of Shabbos. The other three pots were off already. So is that so? That it depends on when I was Mekabel Shabbos? Whenever there's a din that depends on Tchilas HaShabbos, it depends on Tchilas HaShabbos for me, it depends on Tchilas HaShabbos for everybody. Let's say, Yikoyin HaShvisa, about the din of Truman. So if a person is on a boat, there's a Tosfos in Perek Misha Hotziyu, in Erevin. The Perek talks about people traveling by boat on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos, and so on. So sometimes the boat's going to take off on Shabbos. So they used to make Kiddush on the boat, Tosfos quotes, they used to make Kiddush on the boat on Friday afternoon, and then they used to go to sleep at home, in town, and then the boat was going to take off to Shabbos morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. Rover the passengers were non-Jews, so it's not a violation of Amir al-Nachri. They're doing all malachas for the roiv of the people, the roiv of the people are going. If you can avoid the Chil Shabbos, you should. There's no other way, so you got to go like that. So Tosfos has two opinions like that. So one opinion is, since when I was Mekabel Shabbos, I was on the boat, some kind of shvisa on the boat, and then on Shabbos morning, when I go back to the boat, and it takes off at 10 o'clock in the morning, so my makam is the boat, so that I'm not going chutz l'tchum, I'm going to stay on the boat the whole time. And the others say, no, what are you talking about? It depends where are you when shkia enters. If you're just on the boat, you daven early plaga mincha, and then you make kiddush, and you ate the brief meal on the boat, then you go home before the shkia. So you're home when Shabbos enters. When Shabbos enters, it doesn't depend when you are Mekabel Shabbos, it depends when Shabbos enters for all the people in the city. When and not Tosefer Shabbos. So that's two opinions in the big Tosefos. So here it's very questionable. Rav Soloveitchik thought this kula. He thought that those who follow the kula of the Ramah, this Yerushalmi, that Bayos doesn't exist, that if the food was on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and then even if you took it off, you can put it back on. There's no prohibition of HaChazara. So even if it was only on the fire at your Kabbalah Shabbos,
it was already off of the fire before Shkia, but it was on Shabbos, on the fire when you're Mekabel Shabbos. So that would also be room to be made according to this Ramah. The Rav Soloveitchik thought the kula even applies. This is also a big kula. The kula even applies was on the fire in Erev Shabbos. Then you take it off and you put it in the refrigerator. You put it in the refrigerator for 12 hours. You put it in the refrigerator at 10 o'clock at night. Then you come back tomorrow morning, you take it out of the refrigerator at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's a hemshach from before. Rav Soloveitchik thought, yeah, that the Ramah's kula. Others held not so. Others held, even if you hold like the Ramah, it means I took off the pot of soup from the fire on Friday night to serve it, and I served it, and then it's still warm, and then I put it back. It was on the blech when Shabbos entered. Then I put it back on top of the blech a half an hour later. It's still warm. It's still, I didn't, not that I go to sleep, and it was in the refrigerator for 12 hours, from 10 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock in the morning. That's very questionable how far this kula goes. Yeah, we have a din. There's no bishul ahabishul. But Rav Lezer Mimitz, who wrote the Sefer Yerayim, was a Talmud of the Rabbi Natamsa. He has a raya from the Gemara in Pesachim. It's a question how you read the Gemara at the end of the second parak in Pesachim. So he is of the opinion that Bishul Acha Bishul is only if it's the same form of Bishul. Bishul Acha Bishul, Afiyah Acha Afiyah, and so on. But if you have Bishul Acha Afiyah, let's say I baked matzahs or I baked challahs, then I take a bowl of, a burning hot soup. I'm going to take challah or matzah and put it into the burning hot soup. So now I'm doing a bishul achar afiyah. So Blezim and Mitz holds, and we're machmeh for this in the Shulchan Aruch, even though ain't bishul achar bishul, but yesh bishul achar afiyah, yesh afiyah achar bishul. Yeah, so strictly speaking, there's only bishul bikli rishon. So if I take the pot of soup off of the fire
and I put the challah in the pot of soup, so that's bishul b'klivishim. What if I already poured the soup into a bowl, but the soup is still burning hot, it's still yatza lettuce? So that's two opinions in Tosfos, and the Ramah recommends to be machmer on that. That we say, there's mechzik and mebashel, even in the klisheni, if it's going to be a solid, let's say, I have a cup of tea, I pour the tea into a klisheni, and then it's burning hot, it's too hot. I want to pour in a little cold water. So that says b'feirish in the Gemara that that's muta. Aye, but the Ri says mechzik and mebashel, and the klisheni also, no, mechzik and mebashel is only if you put in a solid thing, but if you put in a liquid, and it gets blends in with the rest of the liquid, it's not noticeable as a dova bifnei atzmai, so then there's no mechzik mevashel. Even mechzik mevashel is only if you put in a solid thing that you're going to eat. Let's say you put in a tea bag. The people don't eat the tea bags. A tea bag is like tavlin. You put in a tavlin, then you take it. You're not going to eat the tavlin. So that says beferish in the Mishnah, that there's no bishul to put in tavlin until the klisheni is mutter, because you're not going to eat the tavlin. The chumrah that you shouldn't, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the chumrah from the Binyan Sion, that you shouldn't put a tea bag into the klisheni, so that's based on various considerations. One consideration is that the Chayodim came up with the chumrah that even though there's no bishul b'klisheni, that's only if the water in the klisheni is yatzoledes bo. Yatzoledes means whatever, till between 120 and 175. What if the water is mamash yad nichves, burning at 200 degrees temperature? Yad nichves means if I put my hand in, I'll take it out, I'll burn my hand. Sometimes when you go take a bath and the water's too hot, or you take a shower, the water's too hot, so you have a red mark on your skin because it's yad nichves, but the water is more than yad saladah, it's yad nichves. So the Chayodim has a chumer based on a Rambam, based on a Yerushalmi, that even though in bishul b'klisheni, but if it's yad nichves, then it's yesh bishul b'klisheni. So very often, the water in the cup when you're making tea, the water is yad nichves bo. So that's why, the Chazon Ish says, that's why the minig is to pour the water from the cup into a second cup, so then by the time you pour it into the second cup, it'll probably go down to the level of only yad saled, it'll no longer be yad nichves bo, then it'll be mutter. Chayodim himself is not so convinced that this chumrah is correct. He himself says, and Chazon Ish quotes it from the Chayon, it's a very questionable chumrah, because the source, where does the Rambam quote this Yerushalmi, that yesh bishul b'klisheni, if it's yad nichves, it's in Hilchus Maisris. When the Rambam quotes the din, if you have tevel, so you're not allowed to eat tevel. What if you have tevel where you didn't have the miruach yet? So in Torah, before miruach, there's no issa to eat tevel at all. Midirabbanan, you're not permitted to eat achilas keva. So what constitutes achilas keva? So bishul is kaveh. If I cook the vegetables, bishul is called achilas keva. So it says in Yerushalmi, the Rambam quotes that if you do bishul b'klisheni, it's not called bishul, unless it's yad nichves boy, then it is called bishul. So the Chayodim says, but there are so many other things that are koveya. Melech is koveya, if you salt it. Mekech is koveya, if you buy it from someone. Shabbos is koveya, if you eat whatever you eat, whatever you nibble on Shabbos, it's called achilas keva. There's so many other things that are koveya. So you can't really prove from the fact that the Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi that klisheni is mevashel b'negeit achilas keva. It's called bishul is a koveya. It's not aloha bishul. Bishul is one of the many things that's koveya. So b'negeit achilas keva, yesh bishul b'klisheni if it's yad nichves bo. But it does mean in hilchas bishul that for bas b'cholov purposes or for b'liya purposes, we paskin there's no b'liya b'klisheni. Pashta says even if it's a yad nichves, also there's no b'liya b'klisheni. And the Pashta says that on Shabbos also, even yad nichves bo, there shouldn't be any bishul b'klisheni. But that's the Chayodim raised such a possibility. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Chayodim, then in the Futon he writes, Poshut. It's not so Poshut at all. It's not. Chayodim himself writes that it's not Poshut. It's a Chiddush, and he says himself, it's probably not Ois Gehalt. It's a Chumrah. And then the other reason why the Binyan Sion was Rabbi Yankov Etliker. He lived after the beginning of the Reform Movement. He's the one who gave the smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. In the neighborhood, that means something very big. So the Binyan Tzion has two reasons why you shouldn't put the tea bag in. One reason is maybe yesh bishul b'klisheni if it's yad nichves. The other consideration is that dvarim that are kalim lehizbashel by kali habishul, then the Mishnah says yesh bishul b'klisheni. So it raises the possibility, the Rishonim already say, we're not sure what's kalei abishul, what's not. The Mishnah says, kulyas u'ispinin, some kind of a fish that you catch in the Spanish straits,
of the Mediterranean, Kulis Hispanin, in the Spanish area of the Mediterranean, so that fish is Kale Habishal. Yeah, but what else is Kale Habishal? What else is Kale Habishal? So the Gemara raises a possibility, maybe salt is Kale Habishal. So Taisa says, HaMachmen Tov Ola Brocha, we should be Machmen. The salt is Kale Habishal, even though Mikra then it probably isn't. So some of the Rishonim say, whenever you don't know, we should be choshed, everything in the world is Kalei Abishal. So the Chazon Ish writes, it's really a joke. How can everything is Kalei Abishal? It's a joke. How can it be? Tea leaves are Kalei Abishal. Probably not at all. Probably not at all Kalei Abishal. But those are the two reasons why people are Machmer. If it's really Kalei Abishal, then it wouldn't help to pour the water into a Kli Shlishi. Kli Shlishi is also, if it's Kalei Abishal, still going to be Mevashal. The Chazon Ish says the real reason why we're machmir is really the Yad Nichvizba, which itself is also a Chumrah. But he says that by B'nai Torah, they're machmir because the Mishnah Berurah quoted it from the Binyanim. So Shvera Chumrah. Okay, we got to get back next week. We have to get back to Bishol Achar Afi, Afi Achar Bishol. Got to do some more details.